Man, that was great. I love that young man. He does a wonderful job. Got your Bibles? Turn back to Ephesians on Sunday night. Last week, I took you to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. I'll let you remember that. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. I still believe that every one of us, if we ever, all of us, get filled with all the fullness of God, there'd be a difference in this church and difference in our lives. Somebody say amen. Now go to Ephesians 5 tonight and verse 15 through 20. Now let me tell you what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to preach this as another sermon about spirit-filled life. Not how to do it yet, but for you to desire it. And then next Sunday night, Chad's going to preach. I'm going to preach Wednesday night series on Ecclesiastes. And Brother Bill told me, get all the way to home plate on. I'm going to do my best, Bill. And then Sunday morning, I'll be preaching. Then Chad Sunday night. And then Brother Gibbs. And I'm going to get another series started on 2 weeks from tonight. Okay? You said, why don't you just hop right on it? You try to hop right on it. It's not the easiest thing to do. I got to pray about this, and I'm working on it, and it takes some study. I don't believe you that you just open your mouth and it all comes out. You might probably be an idiot what you're going to end up being. Amen. Before I get to preaching, there's a young man right there, William Wigton. Stand up, son. Stand up. Preacher man. He's going to have a birthday Tuesday. Everybody, well, you ain't supposed to talk. Go ahead and talk. I say happy birthday. Happy birthday, William. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Give him a hand. Amen. He's one of our preacher boys, and we love him. Ephesians chapter number 5 there. Go to verse 15. If you don't mind, will you stand tonight for the reading of the word? Again, folks, listen by way of live stream. Will you please share this message? If America's going to be saved, if our church is going to be saved, we've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Let's look at verse number 15. I'm going to do this little paragraph tonight down to verse number 19. The Bible says this: see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let me say it again. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen.
Oh, here it is, right here.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein it is excess. Now he's using the illustration there. But be filled with the Spirit. Then look what he goes on and says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. I'll get on to Tina this morning. She here tonight? Tina this morning. That group of songs she did this morning, that's psalms, okay? Amen. And hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'll give you one more verse. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, thank you tonight for being able to be here. God, let me preach like I did this morning with power and freedom. I feel good tonight, Lord. I'm glad you helped me physically to feel real good. Since January, Lord, it's been unusual. I thank you. I don't take it lightly. You've been so good to this old man. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, Jesus. And help me again tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad for the Bible. How many's glad for the Bible? Amen. And by the way, tonight I am going to talk to you about the practical side of Christianity, this Christian life. Now, I want you to know, I believe you can live a spirit-filled life anywhere. Paul was in jail when he wrote this letter. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Somebody help me preach. And if you ever get a chance to read this letter, go back and read it. This letter of Ephesians starts out before the foundation of the world. Chapter 1 starts out about our beliefs. By the way, you say, what do you believe about salvation? I'll tell you what I believe about salvation. I'm saved because of the will of the sovereign God. I am saved because of the work of the Son of God. Somebody help me preach. And I am saved because of the witness of the Spirit of God. Good preaching. Chapter 2, verse, and chapter 3 talks about the blessings. We're in a building. We're in a family. We're in, how many's glad you're in a part of the family of God? I'm glad I'm a part of a local church. How you get in a local church? You get saved, then you get scripturally baptized, and that's by immersion, not sprinkling, not dumping, but immersion underwater, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Somebody help me preach. And then chapter 4 and 5 talks about our behavior. Come on, help me. See, I want you to know something. He talks about the morals, our morals, and the members. By the way, there's a way to behave yourself in the house of God. Somebody help me preach. Now, tonight, let me comfort your soul. I only got 2 points. But my wife said, don't get too comforted, because it's not always my main points. But sometimes I got a bunch of sub-points. So I want to give you 2 things tonight, just 2 points. First of all, in verse 15, 16, I want to talk to you about being a conscious learner. The Bible says, seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let me break that word, that big word down. Can I break that big word down? Say it, circum, means around. Spec means to see. What it means is you walk looking around. By the way, it'd be a good idea if you're going to walk, you better look where you're going. So first of all, I want you to notice a cautious tread. It said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I want to tell you, when you're walking for God, you got to be cautious. Now, in the European, let me illustrate it. John Phillips had this in his book. I like it real well. He's talking about the European cities, how they made their walls around the city and walls in the city. And what they would do, on them big walls, they would put glass on top of the walls. So nobody would try to get up, get out of there, and they had glass on there. And John Phillips tells a story about how a man was over there, and he had saw a cat up there. And the cat was walking across the glass. And here's what the cat done, you know. He's pretty smart. He's watching. He saw glass, so he put his paw there. Somebody help me. I'm going somewhere. I want to tell you one thing. We need to get God's light of his Bible, and we need to tread cautiously. Somebody help me preach. And see what God will do. He'll turn the light on. You say, what is the light? The light's the Word of God. You can't have a spirit-filled life without the Word of God. Don't tell me that your feelings and your emotions and you're trying this and trying that to find the will of God. No, sir. The Word of God tells you what the will of God is. Amen. I'm going somewhere. Then not only do I see a cautious tread, but look at verse 16. I want to get to the heart of what I want to preach here. Whew. I see a compensated time. Look what I said. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Now I'm going to ask this class, all of this great crowd tonight. This is a big crowd. How many believe that we're in the last time? And that we need to redeem the time. And how many believe we're living in evil times? Somebody help me preach. The word redeem means to buy back what you've recovered. Hey, that's what Jesus did for us. We were all lost with Adam. But thank God, somebody ought to raise your hand and shout, Jesus bought us all back. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We were lost. We were undone. We were on the way to hell. But God's Son, the last Adam, not second Adam, lost, last Adam, came back and bought back everything that Adam lost. Boy, I feel some preach coming on this old man tonight. Let me show you something about this compensated time. It says, therefore be ye not unwise. That means, well, glory. But understanding, redeeming the time because the days are evil. By the way, it's a corrupt temptation. That word evil, I want to give it to you. It's the word pernicious. It's where we get the word pornography. I want to say something to you. A survey was done recently. It scared me half to death when it came across my desk. 59% of professing Christians are involved in pornography. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, how many of you watch late night at the Cinemax? How many of you get on your little computer and do a little, hello, it's quiet in here. Now I just now killed this thing. Am I preaching? See, listen carefully. He said, redeem the time. I want to tell you what, if you got too much time on your hand, you're going to get bored. And you apt to get into something that you shouldn't get into. That you wouldn't have got into if you wasn't bored and had too much time on your hand. Look what's happening at this pandemic. People got more time at home. They got a lot more time on their hands. And guess what they're getting into? They're getting into pornography. They're social media idiots. Somebody called me the other day and said, man, I was up at 2 o'clock this morning. I said, what are you doing? He said, I was checking my status. I said, status of what? My Facebook's at 2 o'clock in the morning? Somebody done blowed up a bomb in your brain. Who does that? That is somebody with too much time. How about instead of getting on Facebook and looking at your status, why don't you get a King James Bible and find out what your status is? Y'all don't have to shout, I'll shout for myself. How many of you hate going to the DMV?
Yes. Praise God.
Amen. Oh, the rest of you are out of your mind then. Because you're going to sit 2 hours. Well, you do when you go to the DMV. I'm going to tell you what I do. I take me a big King James Bible, and I sit right down in front of everybody and read my Bible. Because I'm not going to sit there and be on social media and let my mind go astray. And I ain't going to go there. I'm going to get me an iPod or something, whatever that stupid thing you put in your ear, and play me some gospel music.
Yeah.
I am not going to let my mind idle, and I'm not going to. Am I preaching?
Right.
I'm going to redeem the time. I'm going to take advantage of every moment I got. People are dying going to hell. People need people that's active for God. I know some of you hearing all these announcements you're doing, you're probably thinking, that pastor's lost his mind doing all this in a pandemic. We've been saving this thing. We're doing it smartly, but I'm not quitting. I'm going forward for God the best way. Protect, doing everything I can, but I am not stopped. This country needs revival now, not after the pandemic's over. Whew. Y'all with me? These teenagers right now that's going to part-time school, they're in the most dangerous time in their life. They can get into junk right now they'd never get into because they got too much time on their hands. All right. Let me go on. Let's go to second little thought here. Look at verse 17. I see truthful wisdom. Wherefore, be not unwise. Amen. Somebody amen. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, you hear me? That word unwise means senseless. See here, the only way you know God's will is to know God's Bible. Well, God ain't going to come from your feelings or your searchings. It is going to come by your knowledge of the word of God. Somebody help me preach. What if I can go to the ordinary member and say, find Habakkuk in the Bible, and they'll look at me like a calf and look at a new gate. Then I'll tell them, what about, are you a pre-trib or a post-trib? And they'll look. Then I'll say, do you know tongues are not for today? And they look at you strange. You know why they look at me strange? They're not equipped in the Word of God. Somebody help me preach. You said, what do you need to do? You need to read the Bible. You need to study the Bible. You need to meditate on the Bible. You need to memorize the Bible. And then you need to apply the Bible. Plain command. Be not unwise. Did I say a pertinent comprehension? Listen to this. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. I want y'all to know something. The will of the Lord isn't Casper coming out of a little genie bottle. You want to know what the will of the Lord is? You do the will of God. Can I just give you experience from me, not you? I got saved. Remember, Bill, you the one made sure I got saved. You helped me. Bill, you know this. I got saved and I got called to preach in September, remember? Remember, Bill, I started preaching every week. You remember, Bill? I preached about 10 weeks out, maybe 12. And Marguerite with me sometimes she didn't. When she was bored of my preaching, she didn't come. But I went out to Leatherwood Baptist to call me up. They said, would you come? Little church out in the sticks. I mean, out in the sticks. I had to drive an hour to that church. It's in the sticks. I went on Sunday. Dave, I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. They said, will you come back Wednesday night? Came back Wednesday night. They said, and I preached. They said, will you come back next Sunday? I said, you want me back after you hear me? And I went back. Well, that went on for 6 months. I was not entitled, but I was their interim pastor because there wasn't nobody else coming out there. They had tried out 35 preachers. And 35 guys were voted in 100% to go to the church. And none of them went. I know why they didn't go. It's because they didn't have a bathroom other than an outhouse. And they didn't have good heat. They had gas heat with the heater leaking. And Lois, I put them to sleep every week. And I about left the ministry until they told me they had a gas leak. And it was putting them old people to sleep, not me. Hello? You said, and then all of a sudden, they said, see, I didn't map out the will of God for my life. That's not what you do. You get in the will of God. Be obedient to the will of God. You don't know if you're going to live 10 weeks from now, much less 5 years from now, 20 years from now. I tell you what I done. I just went there every week. Then one old deacon, Andrew, you both, one deacon come to me. He didn't weigh no more than you did, Andrew. He said, would you like to be a pastor of our church? I said, what's that? I said, real sure. I've seen him. I said, what do I do? And he said, you know, you preach every week like you're doing. Just do what you're doing. I said, and you know, you've been soul winning out here. Do that. I said, is that it? And he said, then, you know, if we got somebody in the hospital, we only got 19 people, but if we got somebody in the hospital, you just try to go with them after you get off work or whenever you can. I said, that's what you want me to do? I said, well, I ain't got nowhere else to go. Took a step. Scared half to death. Didn't even really know. Hey, I'll tell you how ignorant I was, Bill. You know this is the truth. I never served communion until I went there. And Bill knows why. I didn't take communion at the church we was in, Bill. You remember all that trouble we had out there? Because they served not fermented wine from the liquor store, but fermented wine that they made. I don't really think a person could get drunk off of it because you throw up after about 4 ounces. But it had alcohol in it, and I got saved from alcohol, so I wouldn't take communion. Bill, you remember when they called a preacher up and they said, you got to get ready for communion, or I ain't coming. Well, then he didn't come. Next preacher said, you need to bring communion back with wine, or I ain't coming. And they voted both ways. What a bunch of double-minded stuff we were. Not with me. I voted against all of it. Amen. You said, Preacher Smith? You mean, and then 3 years in there, I built it from 18 to 105, 108, something like that. Then I went to a church that had youth. And, you know, they liked me. And God just said, go up there. And I said, really? Well, that meant I had to drive an hour and 20 minutes. I mean, it was, go out to Rome County all the way to Hurricane. How many of my staff been with me? It's up where nobody's up there. God's up there, but nobody else is. I went up there by faith. I didn't know the church had split. I was there 2 weeks and somebody burnt the church down. You see, you must have been out of the will of God. No, I wasn't out of the will of God. So I stayed over in the schoolhouse that was leaking with sewer. Just said, I'm going to follow God. Built the church back. I paid for it. Found out the church was in an association. Tell you how dumb it was. I didn't even know to ask if they was in an association until they invited me 1 year after I'd been there, year and a half after I'd been there, and a woman preacher was there, and I was like, I can't be a part of this. So another church called me. I went down South Park for 6 months. That church went through a fight. And I just, somebody said, why are you going to a church that went through a fight? Because God told me to. I just stepped by faith. That's all it is. He opened that door. I went in it. And then I wanted to go full time. And I went to a church that was trying me out full time. They voted all against me but the deacons. But then God had you. And that's 43 years ago. And I didn't have a plan for you. I didn't have XXXXX drawn out for you. I didn't have none of that. I just came down here without a trailer, without a house, without anything, half of what I was making. I said, God, if it's it, I'll do it. I'm not going to complicate it. And I got in it. And the rest of the story is what you see every week. And I feel like this will be the last place I'll pastor, but if God told me to go somewhere else, I'd go. But I think you'll probably have me die on you. And I'm covered your heart tonight, ain't I? Amen. So we have conscious learning, but I ain't done with that. Now, let me give you the message. Whew. It's just, yeah. Why complicate something, Chad, that's not complicated? Now, secondly, I want to talk about capable leadership. You say, well, how'd you make all them good decisions? How'd you get where you are today? Because I had somebody that led my life other than me. I did not let my circumstances, I did not let my fear, I didn't let anything control me but one person, and that's the Holy Ghost of God. Somebody help me preach. Now let me go on. Capable leadership, look at verse 13. Look at the illustration. Y'all there? I'm almost done. This is good preaching anyhow. I'm just trying to help everybody. It says this, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess. Now, he's not giving us excuse about wine or drinking. You ain't supposed to drink, but he's illustrating what wine does. So how many know? Hey, how many in here, can I ask you a question? How many's in here never had a beer or a wine cooler to your mouth ever? Let me tell you something. You ought to stand up right now. You're allowed, Andrew, to stand up right now and just shout all over this place. I wish I'd never touched one. See, what does wine do if you get drunk? Slurs your tongue, controls how you drive, it controls you. And what he's saying is, you know how wine and liquor will control a person? I want you just to be as controlled in a positive way by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never be able to make decisions about your future if you're not letting a capable leader lead you. Am I preaching? Let me give it to you. The comparative parallel. Drinking and filled with the Holy Ghost. How many understood that? How many knows how a drunk acts? It controls them. And he said this, I want you to be controlled by me. And it's a parallel of how alcohol controls people. I want the Holy Ghost to be in you. Am I preaching? Man, I'm having kind of, then we see a cooperative person be filled. That tense is being filled or allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you. It's a controlling power. I want y'all to know something. I'm going to tell you like it is. Can I tell you like it is? I could not and I am not capable of pastoring this church without the Holy Spirit. Jay, can I ask you, can I ask my staff? Andrew, you ain't been on there long, but you can answer this. We ain't got no easy ministry. It's complicated. I got people come in my office every week in trouble, in danger, having things in their life that's bigger than they are. And you know what they're depending on? They're depending on me to try to guide them in the Word of God and help them. You think all I do is preach behind this pulpit? That's the least of what I do. Now, I've got to spend 40 to 50 hours studying for what I do for you behind the pulpit. But then taking care of everybody's needs, planning the next building program, planning this and planning that, and never being a mockery. And this church is always being financially responsible. That comes back to leadership. That comes back to the pastor and the deacons and the staff. Listen to me, and I can't do it. I'm not capable. I'm not smart enough unless the Holy Ghost leads me, and he is a capable leader. I can't figure it all out. I just let him. Based upon the Word of God. I just don't get away from the Word of God. I won't do anything the Word of God says not to do. In a continuing process. Now, how many of y'all, come on, let's be honest, have ever been filled with the Spirit? Raise your hand. Probably all of you at one time. Now, how many of y'all know that you could be full tonight and not full tomorrow? Did I say that okay? You can be full tonight and not be full tomorrow. You say, what do you mean? If you got the Holy Spirit, doesn't that mean you're filled? No, you got the Holy Spirit when you got saved. The problem is he has to have you. And I ain't going to tell you. I'm not going to be so proud to say, right now I feel like I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I have felt as good in the Lord today as I felt in years and last week too. But I got to be honest with you. I could lose it. And you say, well, what if you did lose it? What if you lost that feeling? What do you do then? I'll illustrate what John Phillips did. I love John Phillips. I didn't give two illustrations of him. He talked about a guy that went up in the attic with another guy. And they found an old book. And this old guy that owned the house said, would you like to have it? And the guy looked at him and said, yeah, I'd like to have it. And the guy took the old book, went out, started reading it. Here's the problem. He got to page 100, and five pages was missing. He didn't know what to do. So he called the guy and said, I'm up here 100 pages in, five pages missing. He said, well, I don't know where they went. He went back up in the attic. He said, Lord, I found them. So when we're done, he put the pages back in there. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. It's not like you had to go back and get saved because you can't. It ain't by being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you had to go back from at the beginning of your Christian life and start over. No. You started out where the pages tore out. Amen. And then the Holy Ghost will put the pages in. Oh, Lord God, I can't hardly stand myself when I get like this. Am I preaching all right? Woo! I try my best to be good. I hope y'all's getting this. I'm talking about Spirit-filled, but then I want you to notice this is not only being Spirit-filled, I want to have some saints that's thrilled. Are you thrilled? And you can't be thrilled if you're not filled. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to stop my sermon. I'm going to be done by 6, but I want to say something. It is impossible to be Spirit-filled and depressed. You can't be depressed if you're spirit-filled. You said, I'm depressed. You're not spirit-filled. Well, you know why? You'll hear me in a minute. Because what he does in your heart thrills you. How many believe? How many's ever been thrilled by him? How many's been thrilled? I'm so thrilled right now. I can't hardly stand myself. Now let's go in. Let's go look at this for a minute. I studied this. I hope you're getting something. I see a triumphant song speaking to yourselves in Psalms. Listen to this carefully. Some of you might not get this. So let me listen to it carefully. Not necessarily been able to sing well, but don't have the ability not to sing. I can't sing in the choir, but I can't sing in my soul. I ain't lost my song, Chandler. How can you tell when you lose the thrill? You lose your song. You lose your joy. You lose your enthusiasm. Come on, help me. I know when John Smith's not spirit-filled because I lose my thrill. I lose my song. You can tell it by looking on my face sometimes. You should, if you think I'm going to stand up here and tell you I'm spirit-filled 24-7, 7 days a week, I'm not. But I seek to be. Am I preaching? Now look here. Let's look at this. Now, I hope I do this right. I don't want those singers to get mad at me. Talented singers, there's some talented singers that do not produce spirituality. Somebody say amen. And they like sensual singing. That's the rise of the contemporary movement. Because people want sensual music. They want to have a disco type of thing. Want to have a little. That's how this contemporary movement's come in. They're getting worldly. They're putting worldly genres into religious songs, such as rap of the devil, such as rock and roll Jesus, coming up with their little slick leather pants. And the little, I saw the other day where they had a song leader, you know, he had his little teenies thing. And then he came out about 6 months later and he denied the faith, come out and said he was a homosexual and denied the faith and said he never did have nothing. But it was easy to lead singing in the church and get people to respond. I want to tell you, anybody can respond to the old fleshly music, but it takes the Holy Ghost to respond to real good stuff. And don't get out here and say, well, he don't believe in new song. Did I say that? No. Jeremy sang a new song the other day. Dolly Parton sings it. But I won't hold that against her. When I was looking for the song, I found it with Dolly Parton. Woo! Then look at hymns. Hymns are sacred songs. See, listen to this about singers. Our goal really isn't to try to get good singers to be spirit-filled. Our goal is to try to get Christians to be spirit-filled so they can become good singers. Amen. Somebody help me preach. Some of you say, well, I'm not a singer. Well, you ever sang in a bathtub? You ever heard a song at the church and you sang it all week? Anybody done that? Anybody like I am? Then spiritual songs. You say, what is a spiritual song? It's not golden oldies. Every once in a while when I'm carnal, I'll listen to the 60s. Well, at least I'm honest. That's when I'm not spirit-filled. And come on, help me. How many of you can recognize bad music when it comes? And I'm not talking about people that ain't got talent. I'm talking about something that's unanointed. Somebody help me preach. Then verse 19, sustained songs. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The songs ought not to quit when the choir quits. Your song needs to go out to the house after you left. See, what happens is, and you preachers, y'all need to, young preachers need to hear me. You need to come to church and worship and let that music worship, help you get to worship. There ain't nothing gets you to worship like music. But it does not replace Bible, line upon line, preach upon preach. Hey, man, I'm glad for all the talent we got. Hallelujah! You ever had a song sustain you? I'm not talking about how great thou art. I'm talking about a song in your heart that God put in there. What is that song, Lois? I'm trying to... Maybe you can hit a few bars with this, Lois. You know this song? In my heart rings a melody. You know that one? Yeah. Hit a rip on that. Hit that.
In my heart there rings a melody in heaven's harmony.
Are y'all listening? Yeah. That's good. You don't know any more of it, do you? See, look at this last two things. The internal origin, that's in your heart. Come on, help me. Then the intense overflow. I want you to know something. I wouldn't give you a nickel for something that's supposed to be in you that don't come out of you. What I'm doing is trying to get you hungry to be filled with the Spirit. Now what I'm going to do, Chad will preach next Sunday night. Then Nick, when I come back in 2 weeks, I'm going to be preaching every time but next Sunday night. And when David Gibbs here, I'm going to preach on now, the next sermon, on how to be filled with the Spirit. Ain't enough to tell you how good it is, but how to do it. Are you here with me? How many know you're saved? Raise your hand. How many of you, be honest, want to know more about Spirit-filled living? You want your life to count, and you want to know more about it. Raise your hand. You just want to know more about it. I wonder how many of all y'all that raise your hand would come up around the altar and say, God, I'm going to yield myself to you that you might fill me with the Spirit and that I'll know what's going on in my life. And, you know, this is not about you seeing and everything. If you just want God to help you, our Father, right now touch the invitation. In Jesus' name, stand.